Hey everyone, can't wait to present this episode of Fresh from the Hill for you guys. I wanted to give a quick disclaimer before we jump in that the audio has just a bit of echo and background noise, but the conversation is still well worth the listen. Big thanks to Michael Bell and Samuel B. Lupowitz for cleaning up the original audio to make it listen worthy. Without further ado, please enjoy this great conversation between Yasmin Alameddine and Brianne Jenner. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Fresh from the Hill, inside stories of noteworthy Cornellians. I'm your host for this series of episodes, Yasmin Alameddine, class of 2016. So I'm here with Brianne Jenner, class of 2015. I'm so excited to talk to her about her experiences at Cornell and afterwards and how she stays in touch with the Cornell community. Thanks for being on.
I'm excited to be on this.
Yeah, so talk to us a little bit about your experience before Cornell. What were you up to and why did you decide on coming to Cornell?
Well, for me, my passion has always been hockey. Mm-hmm. And the route for female hockey players, where I'm from in the Toronto area, was to go down and play NCAA hockey. And academics were, of course, really important to me. I grew up with a family of teachers. They were kind of always encouraging me to put that first. So, naturally, the dream for me in high school was being in, the Ivy League playing hockey there. So I started to look at the options. And, my dad and I would during spring break, drive down and do a little tour of the Northeast and go through different colleges and universities and see what the options were. Then, when I got to grade 12, I was starting to, do my official visits. And, for a long time, I had my sights set on Cambridge Community College, or we also call it Harvard. I was pretty set on going there. And then I did my official visit to Ithaca, and I just fell in love. I was 95% sure that I was gonna go to Harvard. And then it just changed when I arrived on campus. It just felt like home, and I loved it instantly.
Wow. That just gave me goosebumps. Why did you love it? What were you drawn to? Like the campus, the coach, what specifically?
The campus is beautiful. I mean, I don't think there's a better campus, especially in the fall. I miss that so much. The coach, Doug Dare, who's still there. I liked how he was in the recruiting process and his honesty. And he was, a player's coach. He had played at Cornell and had that experience. And just had so much knowledge. So that was a big plus. And then, I did my visit and I stayed in Bulch Hall with a bunch of the girls. And I don't know how Bulch Hall sold me on anything.
Yeah.
it's not the best of the dorms, but just being around the girls and just the energy that they had around the hockey program there and the academics there. And, I'd be lying if I didn't say hockey was a big part of that decision. But, looking back, I would have had a fantastic time should I have got injured and not been able to play. I love the academic side of my experience. And I think that's a sign that you made the right choice.
Completely. Yeah, that's a testament to even without the biggest draw for you, you would still love the school. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And yeah, so talk us through your time at Cornell. You're 5 years, you said. So how was that experience? What was it like joining the team for the first year?
It was amazing because so you go into first year and you've got, 22 built-in friends.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen for most people. So I was like, this is great. I have, some of the, best friends I'm going to have for life, and I got to hang around them all the time. That first semester, I'm sure like most Cornellians, it's a lot that comes at you. And I think I probably overstudied in some ways. Like I was just every free hour was either training for hockey or studying. And then you kind of settle in and you learn, your sweet spot and how to manage your time a little bit better and enjoy yourself. And just being on campus, I mean, I've played on a lot of different hockey teams that represented my country, represented my city, province. But there's something really special about playing for your school and your community, especially when it's, become your second. So when I think back to my time, the thing that sticks out for me community-wise and athletics-wise is the line of faithful.
Yeah.
And the support that we had. you know, there's not that many female sports teams, unfortunately. We're working on that, that have a fan base like we had in my years at Cornell, and it was so special. I get goosebumps just thinking about it, and the pep band, and that whole, you know, environment that we created in that rink for female hockey players who are at the, you know, pinnacle of their careers. So mm-hmm. that was a really exciting thing. When I think back academically, just having the experiences to learn from some of the most, you know, amazing professors.
And you studied political science.
I studied government, and I did a minor in law and society. I think the class that really sticks out for me was freshman international relations, or intro to international relations, with Peter Katzenstein.
Thanks.
Yeah, he's pretty iconic. And yeah, I have a lot of fond memories from that class, again, thrown in and just trying to kind of stay above water, but learn so much. It's always those classes where you're like, oh, I'm never going to survive this. And then you're like, wow, I just went through a million learning curves in, you know, two months or whatever it is. So that one sticks out for me. And you know, I just have really fond memories of Katzenstein's class.
And that's amazing. Do you have any, I guess, other like stories or specific games you remember that crystal clear? And it could be
sure. There's one that sticks out. I think it was my sophomore year. We were playing in the national final eight game, and we were hosting Boston University. And it was the craziest hockey game I've ever been a part of to this date. We were down 3-0, came back, tied it. Then we were up 6-3 or something. Anyway, the first three periods, the game ended 7-7 tie.
Wow.
And then we proceeded to play another full game. We went overtime, no score, double overtime, no score, triple overtime. So that's basically by two games back to back. And I think maybe a couple minutes left in triple overtime, Lauriane Rougeau went end to end, she's a defenseman, and scored the most beautiful goal. And we were all just like exhausted. We could barely celebrate. We were so tired from playing 120 minutes of hockey almost. And we had a great crowd that game. Mm-hmm. But the men's game was right after. So I think we were 4 o'clock start, and the men were at 7. So everyone, we were still playing.
Yeah.
So everyone that was coming to the men's game trickled in. And by the end of our game, there was not an empty seat.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it was just, it was pretty special. But to have 14 goals scored in the first game and only won 3 overtimes.
In the last minute.
It was crazy. Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's amazing. And like you said, it's all about the like crowd and that, and the pep band and the tradition of Lina that makes it so special. And like, hopefully you guys felt so supported in that. That's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the men actually won in overtime that night too. And so it was
what a night.
Weekends for Cornell hockey.
That's so cool. Does anything else stand out to you in your time at Cornell? But like any, I know you were part of the Red Key Society. Like, how was that experience?
Yeah, that was a wonderful experience. One thing that stands out is the community, you know, within the sports teams, how much support there is from team to team, and the community involvement, and being able to be a part of Red Key and feel, well, first of all, I felt so lucky to have the support from the community, as I said, and that's something that's rare for female athletes. So there is that desire to give back to that community that supports you. And it's the community that you're living in, that you're studying in, you're doing, you know, everything in. And to have that opportunity to organize events with Red Key and get to know the other athletes, get to know, you know, what they were studying, what their interests were. That was something that was really special, for sure.
That's incredible. So your time after Cornell was probably equally as exciting, I don't know. So what walk us through like what you did, how you felt after you graduated, and then what were kind of some of the highlights, and then what you're up to now?
It was definitely bittersweet.
It
was sad leaving Ithaca. I think, you know, for many of us, it does become that second home. So, you know, there's times I definitely wish, you know, I could easily go back and visit. But I was living, so after I graduated, I moved out to Calgary, Alberta. I moved there to do a master's in public policy, and also to play for the professional women's hockey club that's out there.
Amazing.
Calgary Inferno. and spent 4 years there. Finished my master's and continue to play professionally, and that's still my number one priority right now. So pretty lucky that I get to keep doing that.
Yeah.
Right now our sport is in a little bit of an unknown, where our professional league in Canada just folded. So the direction of where we're going is kind of up to us as players, and something that we're figuring out. So yeah, I wish I could tell you what I'm doing next year, but it's a little bit up in the air.
Yeah. So I guess how does that like change impact you as players? Is it, you said it's kind of up to you guys to lead the charge in that way. For people who don't know the landscape, like what does it mean that the league is folded, and like what can you as players do to, or us as fans do to like support that?
Yeah. Essentially the Canadian Professional League folded, and we had actually a team in the US and a team in China.
Okay.
And there remains an American Professional League, but the top players in our sport have said that we aren't going to play in the American League next year because we want to build something. We don't believe that league is going to be a sustainable professional league that we
okay.
have to showcase. So it's kind of, you know, the short version of that.
Yeah.
So our sport's at this really interesting point right now where I think the attention given to female athletes is higher than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's certainly a wave of excitement surrounding that. You know, the Women's World Cup this summer, you have players on the American and Canadian national teams competing at the NHL skills competition.
Yeah.
and that generated a lot of positive press for us, but yet we're still hitting trouble when it comes to making a league where players can get paid and make a living.
Yeah.
So we're trying to harness that attention and try to build something by taking a year off, trying to build something where we can have the proper investment to get the product on TV, expand the fan base and see if we can get it to a level where, players beyond Olympic players can actually, play hockey for a living. And we recognize that it extends well beyond women's hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in our, little bubble, but this is something that we hope will have a very positive effect across a number of sports for the next generation of female athletes.
Yeah.
But certainly this next year, although it's a year off, it's going to be a year of organizing, planning, connecting, Canadian players to the American players, to Finnish, to Swedes, and coming together as a whole community to figure out next steps. So as much as it's going to be maybe a year off from the league, it's probably going to be our hardest working year yet.
Probably, yeah, in a very different way. And that's very well said and very well explained. So good luck with all of that.
Thank you.
Hopefully it goes very well. So you've spoken about representing your school and that like specific mm-hmm. spirit, and then representing Calgary. How was it representing your country? Like, what was that experience like? If you can even describe it.
It's definitely hard to put into words.
Yeah.
Since I was a young girl, that was the dream, to play for the Canadian Olympic team, and to have done that twice feels a little bit surreal. It's definitely hard to put into words. And when you play hockey for a country like Canada, you have a little bit of added pressure. But it's something that I think has taught me a lot of really good lessons. Mm-hmm. I think sport is a way of kind of accelerating life's lessons when you participate in it. And hockey, along with being a student athlete, has taught me, how to be disciplined, how to set goals, how to deal with adversity, experiences that I'm, very grateful for. And playing for Canada, being on the big stage, emphasizes those lessons. And I think I've, become better for it. And I hope I have a few more years left of me playing, and then on to the next, I would say, real career.
No.
Following hockey, but it's been quite the ride.
Yeah, that's amazing. You kind of touched upon this, but what are the things you learned at Cornell, like maybe being a student athlete or even studying in your major, that kind of you carry on today?
Well, I think Cornell, right away, Cornell lets you know that you don't have everything figured out.
Yeah. like the second day.
There's always like something to learn, always something to figure out. Yeah, like you said, the second day. Well, the first day, no one told me that when you go to university, you have to read before the first day of class. Is everyone surprised by that?
Yes. You're like, you're already behind, actually, walking to Cornell.
Okay, you only have like 2 books to read by tomorrow. But that was a great lesson for me, and it's something that's so applicable to my career right now as a hockey player. I remember one of my teammates, Carolyn Ouellette, who was our captain at the Sochi Olympics, she said to me, you know, the easy part of, you know, playing hockey is making, it's not the easy part, but, you know, making Team Canada is easier than staying on Team Canada. I think that was her quote. Because there's always people that are trying to take your spot. There's always people biting at your heels. And I think that's the case when you're chasing excellence in any field.
Yeah.
So that's something that I learned right away freshman year at Cornell, and something that I still carry with me is you have to be creative. You constantly have to find ways to get better.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, mental skills, like, you know, improving your self-awareness, improving your focus, or if it's, you know, for me, something in the gym, if there's video I could be watching, you constantly have to look for whatever will move the dial the most for you. I learned that pretty early on at Cornell, that you don't have it all figured out, and if you do, then you're out to lunch.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Very well said. Now, how do you stay connected to the Cornell community?
I still have the opportunity to play with a lot of my Cornell teammates.
That's amazing. We're very proud.
We've got quite the contingent on the national team, so that's been fun. And I'm sure our teammates right now get a little bit annoyed of us. When we're talking about Line of Faithful or talking about our favorite restaurants in Ithaca or going on and on about our college days. But that's been one way that I've stayed connected. And, you know, I love to follow all the Cornell sports teams, following the cross teams in the spring, seeing how we're doing on the baseball field. I try to stay connected that way and up to date on what's going on campus.
That's awesome. Okay, last question for you. What was your favorite place, physical place at Cornell? I ask this to all of my guests.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is the slope. Second... So I always rotated libraries. A lot of people had their one library that they went to. I always rotated. But I loved third floor man. That was a lot of nights spent there. And Mandibles.
Nice.
Like, still for me, Mandibles coffee is the best coffee I've ever had. Love it.
So strong.
And now the list is going to keep going. I don't think I can keep it at one. But CTV bagels, really miss those.
100%.
So I don't know if I answered your question correctly.
You were just like, it's all great.
It's all great. I would say just best physical place, though, sitting at the top of the slope at the end of the day.
For sure.
It's beautiful. Looking out at the campus. Like,
that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and being on. And yeah, thank you again.
Thank you. Go Big Red.
Thanks so much for joining and listening to that episode. If you enjoyed listening to me talk, you can check out my other podcast, Witty, Women in Tech Talk to Yaz, where I share stories of women disrupting the technology industry. This podcast music was written, produced, and recorded by Kia Albertson Rogers, class of 2013. You can contact him at koa3@cornell.edu. You can find out more about the show and ways to stay involved with Cornell at alumni.cornell.edu/youngalumni and on the Facebook page, Cornell Young Alumni Programs. Don't forget to like and subscribe to Fresh from the Hill on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.